Good evening, good to be with you. It's always good to be back in Paisley. I had my secondary school education in Paisley and actually worked for a year in Paisley back in the year dot. And I've got a terrible confession to make to you tonight. Our chairman was saying, you know, it's a long time since there have been technical problems here. I think it was the last time I was here there were technical problems. So I am solely responsible for whatever happened, and I humbly apologise to you all for that. Now, the Bible and money is our subject tonight. So let's turn for our Bible reading to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm reading from the New International Version, 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we'll begin the reading at verse 6, but you just notice at the end of verse 5, Paul's speaking about some who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. And then in verse 6 he says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and hurtful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honour and might forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in so doing have wandered from the faith. Grace be with you. Amen." No, it wasn't written last week. It was written 2,000 years ago. But you can tell immediately, it's really bang up to date, isn't it? The uncertainty of riches. This address, which I'm going to give to you tonight, I've never given anywhere else before. But it was actually prepared a year or two ago. Because as I thought of the circumstances in which we're now living in this country, I realised, of course, that affluence was quite prevalent in the United Kingdom, and I thought, how do Christians handle riches? Well, the address has never been given. I'm not quite sure why. But when I got the invitation to speak here and was asked to handle the subject, I was very happy to do it, not only because I already had the address prepared, but also because of the changing circumstances globally and in our country in particular. The uncertainty of riches is now something that people are thinking about in much wider terms. The Bible has got a lot to say about money. It's rarely spoken about. At least I rarely, if ever, hear anyone saying anything from our platforms on the subject of money or wealth. I don't quite know why I've been asked to handle this subject. I'm not rolling in money, so maybe I don't have too much experience about it, although I did work with money for all of my working life. We, of course, have no control over other people's finances. It is important to say that at the outset of our address, because there are some Christian groups who make the very foolish mistake of trying to control the funds which their members have. And I'm thankful that I don't move in circles like that. But what we need to do is to think about our own stewardship of money, and that's our personal responsibility before the Lord. It's interesting that when the Lord Jesus made one of his calls to discipleship in Matthew 16, that handling of the discipleship call included handling wealth properly. Because the Lord said, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Then he said, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writes his own spiritual profit and loss account. What things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yes, he said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and King James Version, do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. So you see, Paul had his values changed at the time of his conversion, and his values kept changed for the rest of his Christian life. Jim Elliot's famous quote is apt in the context of our study tonight. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. See, what he's saying is go in for spiritual riches in this world. That's really what we ought to be going in for. But how we handle material riches is important too. Now, the first quote I gave you from the end of verse 5 reminds us of the danger of wrong thinking, supposing that gain is godliness. And Paul is probably speaking about, in that time, and they're still around today, what we would call as religious professionals, who might see the Christian message as a livelihood. They would have no real conviction about the gospel, spiritual things. They would have no real love for the people of God, for God's flock. And it does remind us that there is an inherent danger, even in Christian service, in allowing finance to dictate how we become involved in things. In Acts chapter 5, in the great days of the early church, they had a major problem relating to finance. And that led to the very early and unnecessary deaths of Ananias and Sapphira. There was a problem in the old days in the history of Israel too. Do you remember when they went into the promised land and they conquered the great mighty city of Jericho? No problem. And then they came to the small city down the road and they were defeated.